Father, we are eternally grateful because you are such a good God, covenant keeping, faithful to a thousand generations. We watch over our lives and we see you watching over your word to perform it and bringing us unto the kingdom for such a time as this. As we enter your word this morning, we humble ourselves under your mighty hand, fully conscious of the limitation of our human minds to deliver as well as to receive your infinite wisdom that has been compressed into this written word. We therefore need your help, supernatural assistance, fresh unction and anointing from heaven. Firstly, upon my heart and my lips, that indeed I would speak as I should, as an oracle of God. Secondly, upon the ears and the hearts of everyone here that is listening to me and those who will hear me remotely, electronically, so that this word will flow freely from you through me to the people to do an internal and eternal work in every heart, including my own, in particular, to cause our wills to become more humble, our minds more enlightened with revelation knowledge, emotions to be more controlled and tempered by the power of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. We also pray for mercy to be deliver the word with precision, to redeem the time and say only what you want me to say, bringing out treasure of this word, things new and old, as a scribe instructed unto the kingdom. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. And all those in agreement with that prayer, receiving all the blessings I mentioned in their own individual life, agreed and said, Amen. Well, this morning we continue our study in God's Word, our Bible study. We're in 1 John chapter 4, and by the grace and the mercy of God, we will finish it off, that particular chapter off today. And in our last lesson, we stopped in verse 17. I read from the King James primarily. If we want to go to other versions, I will let you know. And he says, hearing, this is our last lesson, herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. Two things we learn from this scripture and others that preceded it. And number one is this: it is possible, and not only is it possible, it's actually implicitly commanded for us to perfect the love of God in our lives. To perfect the love of God in our lives. Number two, it's number one and number two is really the same thing. You know, in this world, it's not something we're going to get when we get to heaven. It's something we can do and should do here. We should perfect the love of God while we are in this world. Like he says here, it says, as is, so are we in this world. The second point here is that when we do that, then we will have boldness. The word boldness, there, a better word, a more familiar modern word would be the word confidence. We'll have confidence in the day of judgment. And I used Paul as an example. You know, Paul, at the end of his life, Paul wrote some words that if somebody said that today, people would say maybe he's being proud or he's being presumptuous. He said, I have run the race. I have kept the faith. You know, I have finished my course. You know, even if he said, I kept my faith, okay, he didn't backslide. But to say, I finished my course, then he went on to say, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. Not everybody can say that. Not everybody can. People can say, I've kept the faith, I go to heaven. But nobody can. Not everybody can say, you know, there's laid up for me a crown. My means I'm going to be a king. You know, I don't know if you know this or not. I have taught it over the years. Particularly, I taught this in 2005. That's about 13 years ago. On, you know, becoming an overcomer. And you see the rewards in the book of Revelation. You see that they are sequential. You know, and they're not the same. You know, there's a reward of, you know, eating of the tree of life. There's a reward of not being hurt of the second death. Means you're going to heaven. You know, there's a reward of hidden manna. You know, there's a reward of not, you know, becoming a pillar. You know, no more going out. And all that is lovely. But there's a last reward. And that last reward is, he that overcometh will I grant to sit in my throne. It's not everybody. Because you are, they are not gifts. They are rewards. Based on, of course, they're the foundation, even of fulfilling the conditions for those rewards is a gift. Because eternal life, mercy and the grace of God is a gift. But it depends on how you now, you know, use the gift. You're supposed to, you can use the gift badly, you can use it wrongly, you can use it efficiently, you can use it inefficiently. So if you use the gift properly, then it will cause you to inherit that reward of sitting on his throne. It is people who sit on his throne that get the crown. It's not every Christian who automatically gets a crown. I didn't hear any amen. So I'm kind of quiet in here. Praise the Lord. Like Papa Hagen used to say, if you can't say amen, say oh me. Amen. And that should ginger you to live a better Christian life. Amen. It's the truth. Not everybody's going to get a crown. Now, let me qualify that. It's the will of God for everybody to have a crown. Hello? You see, God is no respecter of persons. And he doesn't say, oh, this one's going to have a crown. No, this one can't have a crown. This one, no. We determine that. It's not God who determines us. It says, if any man will purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel of honor, sanctified me for the master's use. So it's not God who determines who gets a crown or who doesn't get a crown. It's us. It's us by our honesty, humility, response, diligence, blah, blah, blah. All those things, you know, determine. So for Paul to say, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. He's telling you that I'm going to be sitting on the throne. I'm going to be one of the saints who's going to sit on God's throne, because the crown is symbolic of kingship. Hello, somebody. But that's not going to be true for every Christian, even though it is the will of God for it to be true for every Christian, just like it is the will of God for everybody to be saved. But how many people know everybody is not saved? Now, that's not because it's not the will of God, because a man uses free will wrongly and doesn't respond to God's, you know, call of salvation. In the same way, God's calling everybody to the throne, but not everybody will get to the throne, not because it's not the will of God, but because of what they do. And that's why these things are being preached. That's why I'm telling you the reality. So you can, you know, make the adjustments you need to make in your heart and your life, so that you can live a life like Paul. You know, and like John is saying here, where you perfect the law of God in this world, and then you will have confidence in the day of judgment. You know, you have no, there are not going to be any surprises on the day of judgment for you. Hello, somebody. You know exactly where you're going. You know exactly your position, you know, in the kingdom. And Paul is an excellent example. We've said this many times over the years. You know, Jesus is the pattern son, but Paul is the pattern disciple. Jesus is disciple too, but you know, Jesus is our leader. So he is disciple of all the disciples. Paul, God chose Paul as a pattern. You want to follow somebody, follow Paul. In fact, God gave him the audacity to write these words: follow me as I follow Christ. I don't think any of the other apostles wrote that. Maybe Peter, maybe one or two others, you know, and John, of course, you know. But then not all of them were able to, you know, said that, you know, say follow me, say be followers of us. Then he, you know, pluralized it himself, Silas, you know, Timothy and others, you know. But the important point is this: you know, you want to follow Jesus the way Paul followed Jesus. If you follow Jesus the way Paul followed Jesus, you get the same reward Paul got. It's not exclusive. It's not the exclusive preserve of a few super saints. It's for everybody. Hallelujah. And so we learn these two lessons from this scripture, that we can and should perfect the love of God in our lives in this life, in this world. And by so doing, it will give us confidence in the day of judgment. So when judgment comes, either, you know, the time you die and go to heaven, or you are raptured and you get to the throne of God, you'll be confident. You'll have boldness. You won't be cocky, because, you know, you're like God. You're not going to be proud or anything like that. But you're confident, like Paul. He says, there's therefore laid up for me a crown of righteousness. And watch this. He qualifies it, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give unto all that are born again. That's not what he said. Go and check it. To them that love is appearing. Not every Christian loves is appearing. You know why? The only people who love is appearing, those who are prepared for his appearing. Hello, somebody. So it's showing you that it's not just, if he were just, you know, he would have just said, for all of them that are his children, or for all of them that are born again. He didn't say that. He said, for them that love his appearing. Many Christians don't love his appearing because they're not prepared for it. That's why you need to prepare yourself for his appearing. So you love his appearing. You're hastening the coming of the day of the Lord because you're prepared for it, and it's what you're earnestly looking towards. You know, some people don't even want Jesus to come yet. They want to enjoy the world more, you know, and, you know, enjoy all their cars and their whatever that they have, you know, so that, you know, before Jesus comes. Some people are not ready for his appearing. Some people don't love his appearing. You know, and of course, not to belabor the point, but just to make it, to stick it in, you know, his appearing is at two levels. There's appearing in us, which is perfection, the glory of God. Amen. And is appearing for us. It's both. Hello? So it is those that love his appearing in us, then his appearing for us, that will get the crown. It's not, you know, I have to be like the Pastor Wake I was praying out the other day when I was preaching from 1 Timothy, where it says, preach the word in season, out of season. The Amplified Bible says, wholesome instruction. See, what I'm giving you now is wholesome instruction because by the grace and the mercy of God, you know, people come and tell you, oh, all of us as Christians, you know, we're all going to get a crown. It's not true. It's not true. You know? Now, it is true that it's the will of God for all of us. But there are conditions that have to be met for it to be so. And God has made those conditions, you know, available to everybody. Says that the promise might be short of all the seed because the conditions can be met with the grace and the mercy of God. And the grace and the mercy of God is given to everybody. But it's not everybody who uses the grace and the mercy of God properly. The Bible says so, you know. It says, receive not the grace of God in vain. It means it can be. Otherwise, you won't. You see, all these things in the Bible, they're not there to make us feel bad or to... It's supposed to, one, instruct us, two, warn us, three, equip us so that we can do the right thing. That's why, you see, God is honest. He doesn't deceive us. He doesn't say, oh, this is all happened like that. No. He'll tell you, this is what you need to do. This is what you need to do. This is what you need to do. And the good news is, I'll help you do all of it. Give the Lord a clap offering. All you have to do is make up your mind, make a determination. Because I will not usurp your free will. But once you make your will available to me, I will strengthen that will and make you will and do of my good pleasure. And I'll help you to do it. Give the Lord another clap offering. So you should be excited. Amen. And that's why we tell you the truth. That's the truth. And so those are the things we learn. So verse 18 today, as we go on, it says, there is no fear in love. I didn't hear you. But perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. Now, that's one of the greatest statements that the Apostle John has made in this particular epistle and in his gospel. Number one, the love of God can be perfected. Number two, this is how you know if it is being perfected in you. If fear is dominating your heart, you're not made perfect in love yet. Now, that's not a reason to get discouraged. It's a reason to be inspired. It's a reason to say, okay, what do I need to do to work on so that I can get the love of God perfected in my life and I can have a litmus test. I can have a litmus test. I can check my own heart and say, is fear there? If fear there, okay, I still have to work on it. Oh, let's put it this way, in a better way that will really encourage everybody. It is this. The more I perfect the love of God, the less fear I have. So don't keep it in absolutes. It's relative. You know, so as I perfect the love of God, I'm going to have less and less fear. So I can actually gauge myself and say, do I have more fear now or less fear? And then we're going to see now in a minute, you know, how do I now perfect the love of God? What does it practically mean for the love of God to be perfected? One. Two, how do I do it? You know, and John, in fact, that's this whole First John, that's what it's all about. Particularly this chapter 4. That's what he started talking about from the beginning. And I'm not going to repeat all the things I said last week. But you find that if you go and check, you will see, you know, he begins to tell you how you're going to use the Spirit of God. you know, to perfect the love of God. From chapter 5, chapter 2, he tells us that who keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. In chapter 1, he tells you that if you cling with the blood of Jesus and you confess your sins, you know, that you'll be cleansed from all unrighteousness. He's telling you how to perfect the love of God. In chapter 1, he gives you the blood. In chapter 2, he tells you is the word. In chapter 4, he tells you is the spirit. This same truth, you see it in Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 20, 21, tells you is the blood. First John tells you it's the word. And then, this same First John tells you it's the spirit. Not only that, even the book of Romans, I'm going to talk more about that in a minute. You know, it says the love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. So if I use the love of God in my spirit, watch this. If I use the love of God, you see, the love of God is not in my soul initially. It's in my spirit. Because it's my spirit that gets born again. It's my spirit that has the nature of God. It's my spirit that has eternal life. So I'm supposed to take the love of God from my spirit and then push it into my mind. And push it into my will. And push it into my emotions. And guess what? Push it into my body. Hallelujah. That's what I'm supposed to do. And I, you know, so the love of God, it was shed abroad by the Holy Spirit into my spirit. It is now my responsibility, albeit with God's help. I can't do it by myself, you know, alone. But God and I, or like Paul said, yet not I, but the grace of God which is with me. So God and I will work together to take that love that has been shed abroad, that has been put into my spirit, and I shed it abroad into my mind. And I shed abroad into my will. And I shed abroad into my emotions. And I shed abroad into my body. As I do that consistently, it will become perfected. And so what it means literally is that when the love of God is perfected in your heart, what does it, you know, practically mean? What it means is that the character of God, which is love, and all the other constituent, you know, fruits of the Spirit that are inside there, embedded inside love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, self-control, and patience, all of them will now dominate. That's the key word there. That's what it means to perfect. It means they now dominate your will. So what dominates your will is humility, not pride. What dominates your emotions, you know, are all those fruit of the Spirit. Long-suffering, gentleness, kindness, faithfulness, meekness, self-control, patience. You begin to see inside yourself that, that's what is dominant in me now. Then you know that the love of God is being perfected. And when it now becomes consistent like that over time, over years, then it has been perfected. This is not pie in the sky. These are not impossible things that are just only for some super saints and all that. These guys, when I say these guys, I speak respectfully of the apostles, you know, Paul, John, Peter, at least those three, you know, Jude. If you read, that's why I call them the perfection epistles. If you read everything, you see, Romans to Hebrews gives us the revelation, what we call the Pauline revelation, simply because it was given to Paul, of who we are in Christ. What Jesus did for us in the Spirit to make us sons of God. You know, and the legal basis for doing so. That's what you see in Romans, Galatians, Ephesians, you know, Philippians, you know, Colossians, 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, 1st, 2nd Timothy, Titus, Philemon, and Hebrews. That's what you see in those scriptures, you know, which is very, very important, foundational, you know. And even in there, you see the pointers to perfection. Hello? You see that in Ephesians chapter 4, says this is why. This is the purpose God gave the ministry. Gave us apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. What for? For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Till, in other words, we have a destination we're going to. Till we all come into the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto what? A perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Telling us that it is God's will for us in this life to grow to the same level Jesus was when he was here. Jesus corroborates this, where he says, the works that I do, shall you do also, and greater works. Paul said, talking about them, he says, I might grow up into him in all things. But When we now get to what I call, you know, by the grace and the mercy of God, the perfection epistles, you now begin to see detailed instruction of how that perfection can actually be attained. You see it in James, thank you. You see it in 1st and 2nd Peter. You see it in 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. You see it in Jude, hallelujah. And that's what we're breaking down here. This is what the Apostle Paul, by the Holy Spirit, Apostle John rather, by the Holy Spirit is given to us. He said, you can have the love of God perfected in your life. He said, and this is how you test it. Look at your fear level. If you're still afraid of many things, I'll deal with this in a minute. The love of God is not yet perfected. Now the good news is that it is being perfected. Okay, so you're probably less afraid now than you were 5 years ago. Hello? I actually saw that evolution, and the word evolution just means change. You know, I actually saw that evolution in my own personal Christian life. I remember this was, you know, maybe 15 years ago or so. I noticed inside, I didn't do anything special. All I was just praying, you know, using the blood, the word, and the spirit, all these things. You know, I just noticed that inside my heart, there was another level of confidence that I didn't have before. Then I recognized now, oh, that's what's happening. The Lord God's been perfected inside my heart. You know, I'm not afraid of death. I don't say that stupidly and I don't say boastfully. I say it to the glory of God. You know? That's not to say I'm stupid. I'll go and stand in front of a bullet or something. I won't do that. You know? I still have a lot of work to do here. Amen? Like the Lord Jesus. He says, you know, when he saw that wanted to kill him, he didn't walk in jury. You know, like I always told people, you know, if Jesus could die, anybody can die. I can die. Jesus died. And he avoided death until the time it was the will of God for him to die. And when they put the sword in his something, it pierced it. If they put it in yours, it will pierce it. So don't do stupid things. I let them pierce it. Hello? So when you see things that can cause you to die, you avoid it. He said, you know, when he saw that they wanted to kill him, he said he avoided it. Of course he was a son of God. Of course he could pray. Of course he had angels protecting him. But angelic protection is no excuse for presumptuousness. I shared this last week on deadly sins. A lot of Christians are presumptuous. Oh yeah, yeah, God told me, you know. And I was, you know, God's, yeah, God told you. But did God tell you? Or when did God tell you? You know, there's always the will of God and the timing of God. There was a time Paul wanted to go to Asia. The Bible said the Spirit did not allow them. Because if he had gone at that time, they probably have been killed. Then he now had a vision, a man of Macedonia. So he now went to Macedonia. Then after they had done all the work in Macedonia, that was when he went to the jail in Philippi. You can imagine all the experiences they went through and the spiritual growth and strength and revelation he got. He was now ready to go to Asia. So God now said, now go to Ephesus. If he had gone to Ephesus before Philippi, it may not have worked out the way we read about it. Are you listening to me? Same thing is true in our lives. You want to go to China? Yeah, go to China. But you must first go to Aidade. Aidade is a small village not too far from us here where we have a small mission station. A guy can't go to Aidade. Can't even spend a weekend in Aidade. He wants to go to China. Suicide. Are you listening to me? Oh, yeah. You know, I'm getting ahead of myself, but I'm going to say this news before it happens. You know, once the glory of God begins to manifest, and I believe it's going to be very soon, you know, and we begin to manifest this spirit without measure, we're going to start a missions program. God's spoken to me clearly. You know, and from Zechariah chapter 2, he says, after the glory, he will send you to the nations. We're going to start everybody. I don't care whether you're a doctor, engineer, honorable.
Prof said, especially them.
We'll get honorable to get some of his colleagues, you know, both in the House and in the Senate. This is news before it happens. You know, we're going to start a missions program. You know, we're getting all the things ready for it. And with the anointing that comes, the resources, both financial and material, you're going to need two of them. You're going to need satellites. You're going to need aeroplanes. You're going to need everything. It's literally an army. Just like the U.S. Army. When the U.S. Army moves, they move with everything. They move with communication. They move with medical. They move with engineers. Everything. A proper missions program needs the full complement. It's not this, you know. And then, what's going to happen, you know, so start getting yourself ready. You know. And I will not take any excuses. I've married a wife. I've bought 5 yoke of oxen. You know, I've bought a new piece of land. None of them will be acceptable. Amen. We're going to have a full missions program. In fact, just this morning, as I was praying, the Lord was speaking to me. He said something like, maybe, you know, I don't know the full details of everything yet, but at least every quarter, you know, that's every 3 months, we might have what you call a missions week. You know, and everybody will go for missions. Some will be local, like Ayedade. Some will be within Nigeria. Some will be West Africa. Some will be Africa. And some will be anywhere in the world that God tells us to go. And we'll have different mission programs. You know, everybody will be involved. You know, but when you first start, we're not going to take you to Afghanistan. We don't want to kill you. Amen. We're going to test you in Ayedade and see if you can drink the water there. Praise the Lord. Or take you to Anigba in Kogi State, where we have some of our brethren that are still there and we're still in cooperation with them, you know, and take you out there. Go spend a weekend there. And let's see how you hold up. It is the person who has been faithful in Ayedade and in Anigba that I will dare take to even West Africa. I'm not going to take him to Afghanistan yet. And as you grow spiritually and his capacity increases, so sometimes you just go, you do a weekend, sometimes you do a week, some people do a month, some people do 6 months. The rich people will do 6 months. You know why? They can stay away from their business for 6 months and they have the money to be able to do it. So the richer you are, the more we are going to send you. How many of us don't want to be rich? Truly. That's what we're going to do. You know. And you know, we ourselves will go. Myself, my wife, all of us, you know. We'll go to different places at different times, you know. And it's going to be a regular program. It's going to be regular. Until Jesus comes. Because our mandate is to make disciples from all tribes. So we're going to have a big map of the world and we're going to keep sticking wherever we've gone. Make sure we have one here. There's a boots on, exactly. We've got boots on the ground here. We've got guys. And you know, some people say 6 months, some people say a year, then they will swap, then they will come back home, then another person will go for another year, or some will go for 6 months. You know, it's going to be, there'll be flexibility taking into account the individual problems and challenges of each person's life. Some people, their children are still small, so they can't go for long. Others, that like me and my wife, their children are grown, they're married. What are you doing? Amen. So people like us can go for 3 months. No problem. We can go for 6 months. Hello? Without anything going wrong on the home front. Whereas those who are the younger ones whose children are still small, you can't send them away for, you know, they can go for a weekend. They can go for a week and come back. You know, but with time, everybody will get the experience. You know, but nobody is going without a borrowed anointing. We don't want any casualties on our hands. You have to have that anointing. Spirit out measure. You can't stand the problems and the challenges of the mission field if you don't have the spirit out measure. You will crumble. I've been, so I know.
I didn't go for long. You know, I was telling you the experience the other day when I went on the mountains in Adamawa, you know, in Mubi Hills, you know. And I was fit because, you know, I exercise up till now. I still do my exercise this morning, you know. Even though I'm 60 years old, by 60 next year, you know, I try and keep myself physically fit because I know the work that's ahead. Are you listening to me? Well, I climbed that mountain for 4 hours. Myself, Pastor Larry, you know, Elvon, and some of the other brethren. I don't know if Pastor Andrew was with us. That, you know, quite a number of us, about 4 or 5 of us, went on that mission trip. 4 hours. If you're not fit, you can't make it. You're faint, and then you become a casualty, and then you now become a distraction from the work. So we can't take you. So we first of all take you to Aidade and see how you survive. And then it's the people who pass that one that can go to the more intricate places. Hello, somebody. We don't want somebody to cry baby who get there and say, hello, somebody. How did I get off on that? Amen. But it's good stuff, isn't it? Praise the Lord. Okay. So there is no fear in love. And God wants us to have the love of God perfected in our hearts. And as that love is perfected in our hearts, that's where I got off on that. You know, we remove the fear of death. Nobody's going to go on a mission who's afraid of dying. No, we're not going to die. But we should be ready to. It's a big difference. You know, I've taught many times on this over the years about death. You understand? To say you will die is unbelief. To say you cannot die is presumptuousness. But to say you will live by the grace and the mercy of God is faith. It's in the middle. You don't go to one extreme, I cannot die. Jesus died. Hello? Then you don't go to the other extreme, you know, and be afraid of everything. I'm going to die. You can't do anything for God. You stay in the middle of the road where you're going to trust God. I'm not going to die. But even if I die, so what? Let's go. Amen. You can't say amen, say oh me. Hallelujah. You will not die. You will live and declare the glory of God in the land of the living. And you're going to take that glory to the uttermost parts of the earth. You know. So all of us are going to be involved at one level or the other. Some short trips, some a little bit longer, some a month, some, you know, so those of us who are like resident pastors here, we can't go for too long because of the church here. So we go for a week, go for 2 weeks, come back. Another set of us will go. They'll come back. Another set of us will go. We'll come back. And so it's going to be like that until Jesus comes. Because when we do one level of missions and we get the work planted and people are discipling them, we move to new places where there's nothing. Then we start again, you know, and so on and so forth. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, I just gave you God's timetable for the rest of your life. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. You give the Lord a clap offering. Yeah, why not? That's why, that's the reason why you're making money? All this work you are doing, that's what I've just said is what it's for. It's for the missions. The kind of money God's going to give you, as you're faithful and as your soul prospers, is going to be so much. You know, what you need for your children and your house and all that will be very small. The bulk of it is for missions. This has been in my heart for 20, 30 years, what I'm telling you now. I've spoken about it before over the years, but long, long ago. I haven't spoken about it recently. Okay, so that's why you need to perfect the love of God so that you cast out fear. You cannot, you know, and what is fear? Fear is a dread of God and of what can happen to you because the root of it is because you're separated from God. When God is with you, you are not afraid. You know why? There's a beautiful scripture. I won't turn there, but I just quote it and hit it running. You know, you know what it says? It says that if I go to hell, you are there. He said, the darkness and the light are the same to you. What will make God afraid? I want to ask you. Just think about it. Did God not make everything? So what is it that is going to make God afraid? Now, if you have God in you, in the same level, the same way, nothing can make you afraid.
Because the God who made everything is inside you. Is it clear? Perfect love casts out fear. That's and you should be working towards that in your Christian life by using, like we said, the blood, the word, and the spirit. Fear is a consequence of spiritual death. Look at Hebrews chapter 2, verse 15. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 15. Okay, I just want to bring out an expression here. It says, and deliver them, I didn't hear you, who through the fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. And this is the condition of the natural man and the carnal Christian. Not just the natural man who's not born again. The born again Christian who is still dominated by the sin nature in his mind, will, emotions, and in his body. He's afraid of death. And that puts him in bondage. There are many things God wants him to do he cannot do because he's afraid he's going to die. Hello. Now watch this expression here. He says the fear of death. Everybody said the fear of death. Notice it's not the death of fear. It's the fear of death. What does that mean? It emanates. Fear emanates from death. What is death? It's the spiritual state of separation from God. When man fell and Lucifer and all, any created being that becomes separated from God, the original life of God, function of God that was inside him becomes distorted. Because the forces that keep those things in the right configuration come from God. Once you separate from God, it becomes distorted. It's like, let me use a natural illustration. It's not exact, but it gives you an idea. If water is flowing from a spring, you understand? It's always fresh. So long as the spring is giving it water and it's flowing. You block it from the source, the water becomes stagnant. Once it becomes stagnant, what do you get? Amoeba, all kinds of organisms, mosquitoes, and everything. The same water that was okay before, but because it's no longer connected to its source, the water becomes stagnated and it now becomes polluted. That's spiritual death. That was coming, everything comes from God. I have heard it once, yea, twice. Power belongeth unto God. Everything is sustained. He says, by him are all things are sustained by the power of his word. Once you cut off anything from God, that thing begins to die. You can't help it. Because God made all things. Is it clear? Not only did he make all things, he sustains all things. For of him, through him, and to him are all things. Is this clear? So what happens is this. Spiritual death is a consequence of separation from God and the life of God, the original life of God that was there, now becomes distorted. That distorted or polluted form of the life of God is called death. It is that death that has fear inside. That's why the first thing Adam said was, I was afraid. Immediately they sinned. The Bible says, and God came down, like he did every day, the cool of the day to walk with Adam. Spirit communication. You know, God is a spirit, Adam's spirit. In a physical body, but he didn't need clothes because he was clothed with the glory of God. So here and God, fire was talking to fire. Glory be to God. That's how. Then they sinned. When they sinned, the fire went out. Then they had, you know. So God now said, where are you? He said, I hid myself. So why? He said, I'm naked. So I was afraid. That's the first manifestation of spiritual death is fear. Watch this. Once you get rid of fear in your heart, you now know the life of God is dominating it. Because you're not having any more contaminated spiritual death in your system. You're flushing it out. And so, we got to close. You know, we are to perfect the love of God in our lives using the blood. The blood cleanses us from sin. The life of God, you know, flows into our hearts.
And then the power of the Holy Spirit will use to push out that life, you know, in terms of the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, self-control, and patience. And it begins to dominate our soul, our mind, will, emotions, and body. And so the love of God starts becoming perfected. As you do that consistently, and it becomes your heart, become established in it, it will become perfected in this lifetime. And you won't be afraid. That doesn't mean, again, I don't want to believe, it doesn't mean you're going to start doing stupid things and going to start jumping off buildings so that angels can catch you. That's what the devil will come and tell you, like he told Jesus. You know, Jesus never did that. You know, do you notice Jesus walked on water at 2 a.m. in the morning? Because he was trying to save the guys who were rowing. But do you notice that normally when he's going, he doesn't walk on water, he goes in the boat like everybody else? That's why this thing has to be developed in us. So we don't try and misuse that power. That's why we need the character. So as this character is developed in us, what's going to happen is that the fear will be completely removed. And we'll just be like God, you know. And we'll do things sensibly like God does them, you know. And whatever we do, we're doing it because we want to save men. And want to help men. And want to give glory to God. We wouldn't do it to show off. You know, you won't have all of that because that nature, that character is developed inside you. You know, you consider it an obscene thing for you to do things that are boastful or vainglorious. Everything you want to do is to the glory of God. Hallelujah. Am I talking to anybody here? Verse 19, got to close. We love him. I love this because he first loved us. Watch this. Jesus gave his life for us. Hello? So, we have to reciprocate the gesture. Hello? He gave his life for us. So he says, I died for you. Now you die for others. Now, not literally going down a cross, but you lay down your life in terms of prayer, you know, fasting, you know, time, you know, lack of sleep. You lay down your life for others. He says, Paul, picking the same thought, the same Holy Spirit, giving them the same thought in two different ways, different human words, but it's the same thing. This is what the way Paul says. He says, if one died for all, then we're all dead. That they which live should no longer live unto themselves, but unto him that died and was risen again. So that's what he's saying. We love him because he first loved us. If Jesus says, laid down his life for me, then I have to lay down my life for others. Watch this. In connection with what I just talked about, missions. If Jesus left the comfort of heaven as a second person of the Godhead and came down here to a mission field without all the comforts of heaven, no angels, all the things he normally enjoys, he inconvenienced himself, not forever, just for 33 years, so that you and I can have life. You need to inconvenience yourself by leaving the comfort of Agodi. I live in Agodi. Or Oluyole, or London, or Los Angeles, or Paris, wherever it is you are. You need to follow his example. You will love him because he first loved us. If Jesus left the comfort of heaven, then we have to leave the comfort of our homes. Leave the comfort of our society. Leave the comfort of our environment so that we also can go to a mission. We can go to an earth, so to speak. We can go to a mission field and lay down our lives, inconvenience ourselves, you know, so that we can give life to others. That's what Christianity is all about. Is it clear? So all these things you're accumulating, they're good. Please use them for the glory of God. Amen. But don't get attached to them. So when the master says, you're going to China for 3 weeks. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And they said, I just changed my mind. It's 3 years. Prof didn't say amen. He just looked at me. Maybe I'm giving you a prophetic word. I'm only joking. You know, but seriously. You know, God can say, look, you have everything. You have everything. You're comfortable now and everything. Said, okay, I need somebody to go to that place for 6 months. Will you go? You should say, yes, Lord, with all pleasure. With all pleasure. If Jesus left heaven for 33 years, I can go for 3 weeks. Oh, come on. Am I talking to anybody here? Everybody should have in this missionary mentality. God spoke to me years ago. He said, the 21st century church is going to be a missionary church. It's going to be our main focus. Our main focus, you know, evangelism and all that is inbuilt inside it. All these heathen that are in the cities, they've... God spoke to me some years ago. He said, talking to me, Olubi, he said, you've been all around Nigeria. I've been on television practically all over this country. I've been in Enugu. I've been in Kaduna. I've been in Lagos through OGTV. I've been here in the West, in you know, NTV. In fact, NTV is coming to record us later on this morning, you know. And, you know, and then I went to England. I went on Revelation Television. I was in London for about 2 years, you know. Spending my own money to the glory of God, you know, to be on air and all of that. And God told me, after that, he said, they've heard. I got some other things for you to do. Now, still on television, to some degree. And of course, now things have evolved. We now have the internet. So I'm everywhere now for anybody who wants. You can watch me now anywhere in the world. Watch this in any language. Google already has automatic translation as I speak, and you don't have to pay a penny for it. Isn't God leaving us without a witness? So you can't say you didn't know. So now we now have to go to those who don't have Google and those who don't have television. That's the next thing. The ones who have television, who have Google, who have, they can, if they want the message, there. It's already there. Then I turn the 21st century mission is going to be for the go to the places where CNN cannot get there. Satellite television cannot get there. They've never heard of satellite television. So we have to go. And there are places like that. The Amazon jungle is one in Brazil. Hello? And then some of the Muslim countries that where Christianity is banned, you know, by law. You know, there are villages inside in Afghanistan, in Pakistan, you know, and many of the other countries, you know, deep down inside their interior, they've never heard the gospel. Why? You can't go there. Some places, there's no satellite television that can reach there. The signals are there, but they don't have the receiver. They don't even if they got it, they won't know what to do with it. And you and I are called to go there. Leave the comfort of Agodi, as I can speak for myself. Amen. And that very nice house and very nice car, you will leave it for some. It's not forever. Jesus didn't leave heaven forever. So you're not going to leave it forever. You just go for a few weeks, a few months, or a few years, depending on what the Lord says. I'm looking at some people, you know, and then why didn't you come back? Oh, really, this is what's going to really happen, you know. It's going to be a lot of coming and going. Most people won't go and stay for, you see, the old missionary something was back in the 1800s when the English first came. Because of technology, you couldn't go and come. Once you went, you went. Very few of them survived to come back. Some did. They would, after 5 years, they would come back. Like Pa Elton, they would come back. But thank God for technology now. Thank God for wisdom. Now we can do a lot of going and coming. So you can go, spend 3 weeks, spend 3 months, and then come back. Then another person will go. So the burden will not be on any one person. And all of us will live fulfilled lives. Is it clear? So start shaping up. Our God of clothes. We love him. I didn't hear you. Because he first loved, we just have two more verses. Next verse. Our God of clothes. If any man say. Now, turn to your neighbor and say, it's not Pastor Luke who said this, so it's God who said it. Who, through the Apostle John. If any man say, I love God, and hated his brother, or wife, or husband, classmates. How many people know that there are issues in Christian homes? I didn't say it. He said, you're a liar. If you say you love God, and you... The word hate is very strong. Let me use another word that all of us can relate to. You resent. I don't know what resentment means. You just don't like them. You just don't like to be around them. The same thing. It's just different synonyms. You know? If any man say, I love God, and he resents his brother, he say, you're a liar. He's a liar! What's wrong with you now? Say it. You are not a liar now, so why are you afraid? He's a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? In other words, if you have the love of God in your heart and you're not manifesting it to your brother who you can manifest it to, how are you going to say you love it to the God who you cannot manifest it to? The way you're going to manifest your love for God is by showing it to your brother and your fellow man. Amen. Love 101. This is what John is telling us here. I love God, I love God, I love God. And then the way you treat other people is so despicable. You don't love God, you're deceiving yourself. You're a liar. The love of God in your heart ultimately will translate to the love for other people. Because two things. One, sinner or saint, they're made in the image and likeness of God. So if you say you really love God, you like what is in his image. If you truly love God, you will love what is in his image. If you don't love what is in his image, then you don't love God. Because man looks like God. So if you can't love the God man you see, how can you say you love the God you don't see? Verse 21. Oh God. And this commandment, hallelujah, have we from him, that he who loveth God loveth his brother also. Point. Also. You cannot say you love God if you do not love, firstly, the brethren, Christians, and your fellow man. He said, how do you know you love God? The Bible tells us, look at John chapter 14. This must be my last scripture. John chapter 14, verses 20 through 23. And that day, at that day, turn to your neighbor and say, that day is this day. We're there already. Say, we're there already. You shall know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. That just means you're born again. You're in the vine. Amen? So God's life is in you. You know, you're attached to God. God's life is in you. Jesus' life is in you. God is in you. You're in him. Christ is in you. You know, that's all that means. Verse 21. Hello. He that hath my commandments. Oh, eshe elanui. And keepeth them. He it is that loveth me. Let me read that the way we read today. He that comes to church and sings, he it is that loveth me. Is that what he said? He that tells everybody how nice a Christian he is and all of that, he who reads his Bible every day, he is, all those are part of it. But you see, God is trying to tell us something here. The proof that you love God is that you are keeping his commandments. And those commandments are the commandments of life and love. We won't go into all of that again. He that loveth me, I didn't hear you, shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and what? Manifest my... If you love God and you're keeping his commandments, God will be showing himself to you. Hello? Verse 22. Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? Next verse. And Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will do what? Keep my words. He's very specific. You can't love God and not keep his word. In fact, the thing that's going to make you love God is keeping his word, because his word is his life, is inside his word. And the power of the Holy Spirit that energizes the word is what's going to make the love of God in your heart, shed abroad in your heart. You cannot love God without God's word.
You cannot love man without God's word, because God's word contains the wisdom of how to love God and man. Am I talking to anybody here? You see, the whole thing is all interwoven. You can't run away from anything. He will keep my words. I didn't hear you. And my Father will love him. And we. This shows you that there's more than one person in the Godhead. And all people say is Jesus only and all that. They haven't read their Bible properly. Amen. Say we. Everybody say we. Say we, not me. Hello? Say we who? Okay. So who are the we? Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. We will come and we'll do what? Make our abode with him. This is the guy you can't destroy. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge, because he has made the Lord his habitation. See, when is you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, what can touch you? Nothing. Let us pray. Talk to your feet. Stand to your feet. Nothing can touch you. Learn to perfect the love of God and have God with you all the time. You, one, it will remove fear. Two, you have complete protection. Amen. Am I talking to anybody here? Hallelujah. Let's talk to God. Hallelujah. Love divine, all love excelling. Joy of heaven.
To earth come down.
Thank God for John Wesley, Charles Wesley.
Thy humble dwelling.
All thy faithful.
All thy faithful.
Mercy is crowned. Jesus, thou art.
All compassion.
Pure. Hallelujah.
Visit us with thy salvation.
Enter every trembling. Start again from the beginning. Love divine.
Love divine. All love's excelling.
Joy of heaven. In us.
Fix in us thy humble dwelling.
All
thy faithful
mercy is crowned. Jesus, hallelujah.
Jesus, thou art
all compassion pure.
Enter every trembling heart.
Come Almighty.
Come Almighty to deliver. Let us all thy life receive.
Suddenly return. Hallelujah.
Season glory in thy perfect love.
The last stanza.
Finish now thy new creation.
Pure and spotless. Glory be
to God.
Let us see.
To God.
From glory into glory.
Chilling purpose.
Chilling
hallelujah.
Purpose.
We take our place.
Till we go the cross before thee, lost in wonder, love,
and
without ceasing, glory in thy perfect love.
Put one hand on your heart, raise the other hand to God. God has just given us in this Bible study a breakdown of how to perfect the love of God in our lives and its consequence and its purpose. We do it by the blood, the word, and the spirit. The consequence of it is that it will remove fear. And the purpose of it is to take the gospel to the nations, to the tribes and tongues and kindred. But about 20 years ago, I went to Cameroon to go and do some mission work. You know, we were teaching the churches there on all these things, how to, you know, pray in the spirit, you know, and all of that. And one of the bishops who hosted me, he was telling me, he said that in the Congo, there are places, they too had a mission after, there are places they have never even gone. He said there are places that are so difficult. The people are belligerent, that is, they're very aggressive. They don't even want to hear anything. It will take the glory of God to break those places. Raise that hand. This is the purpose of your life. Your purpose isn't just to be a good doctor or a good physicist or a good engineer or a good lawyer or whatever it is you're doing. That's important. It's going to be a tool. God will use it. But that's not where we're going. Where we're going is to grow spiritually to the image of Jesus. Inherit the spirit without measure, firstly as a borrowed anointing, then later on as a full anointing, and then use that anointing to go to the nations. That's your purpose. Raise that hand. Say, Father, I confess our sins and so clean with the blood from all unrighteousness, receiving your blood. In Jesus' name we have life, we receive your life. Lord, have mercy on us as we pray. We receive your power. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this word that I've heard this morning, showing me that it is your will that I perfect your love while I am still in this world. And that I will know that that love is being perfected in me as it removes and flushes out fear from my heart by your blood, your word, and your spirit. And I also understand from what Pastor has said, that the purpose of doing this is to inherit the spirit without measure that I can now take to go to the nations, to the people who don't have the privilege that I have had, who have not lived in countries where they could hear the gospel, or in geographical locations where there's civilization and they could hear these things on television, on satellite, or on the internet. There are men, women, boys and girls that are crying out and groaning, waiting for people like me to come and save them. Here I am. Here I am. Send me, O Lord, in Jesus' name. Nekashaleka tofredegas. Lipriki tofrenengash tofrenes. Delabashaliki tofredes. Ningara dolobashaliko kofredes. Lopridenga tosco frene. Jelea, cotofrenengara. Lombergomatolomato fridu fridu frische. Tocolomatolomatu frides.
In Jesus' name, put your hands down just before you sit down. As we're praying, the Lord gave me, what I call it, a vision. You know, it was a thought really, but very, very pictorial. See, as we begin to do this, firstly, as we perfect the love of God, fear is cast out. We inherit the Spirit without measure. Then we start going to the nations. We're going to challenge the world. People are not born again. They will say, this is the real thing. This is our God. We have waited for Him. They will now know we're not doing it for money. They will now know we're not doing it for comfort. You see, the reason why so many people are skeptical is that they see, you know, preachers, you talk, you know, you God blesses you, make money, and just using it for physical comfort. And that's not wrong, because God wants us to be comfortable. But you see, they don't see any passion. They don't see any fire in the church. And you know what they're going to say? As you begin to go, some say, we'll go with you. We'll go with you. Red Cross will say, we'll go with you. Doctors Without Borders will say, we'll go with you. It's going to open the door. And when they go with you, they will have comfort and they will have protection, because they know you can protect them by the anointing. That's what's ahead of us. They will go with us. They will say, if it's those guys, I'm going with them. If I know I'm safe. They say, if it's those people, I'll go with them. This is our God. We have waited for Him. God bless you. You can sit down.